Welcome to this podcast from Barlow McCarthy. We hope you find insight and a catalyst for change in the topics we discuss. Now, here is today's presentation.
Welcome, everyone, to our podcast on why being a leader. I'm delighted to have with me Mark Montrose, who's in Marshall, Michigan right now as the Director of Practice Operations for Bronson Healthcare. In that position, he's responsible for the ambulatory operations of the Surgery Clinical Practice Council. That includes 13 clinical locations in Southwest Michigan with 62 credentialed providers and 108 support staff. Mark has additionally spent the first 25 years of his career in commercial banking, where he worked as a senior commercial lender and community bank president for Michigan National Bank and Chemical Bank. And while in that capacity, he was on the board of directors for Oaklawn Hospital, where he got tapped by the hospital CEO to become the executive director of the Oaklawn Medical Group, transitioning him from banking into healthcare. And as part of that medical group experience, he led their effort to grow the entity from 10 providers to 77. Mark received his BS, BA from Central Michigan University in 1986, majoring in finance. He also has received certification in physician practice management and is a medical staff recruiter. And I'm delighted to have Mark with me today. Mark and I have known each other from some consulting work that we did in Oaklawn, and it's great to be with you again, Mark.
Allison, how nice to talk to you again. And I've always enjoyed our conversations and following your career with Barlow McCarthy. And I can't say enough about the great work you did for us at Oaklawn Hospital. So thank you for inviting me this morning.
Thank you. I'm honored and delighted. So let me ask you the first question, Mark, to get us started. And I'm going to reference a book by Douglas Conant called The Blueprint, where he shares that resumes describe what we have done for the external marketplace. But as leaders, we also have internal virtues and values. And the bridge for these two parts of ourselves is our why. Can you share why you chose to be a leader?
That is such a great question to ask ourselves, honestly. And Allison, my why is definitely driven by core principles, those virtues and values you mentioned that I believe in religiously and try to live by each day. And the fundamental why for me comes from recognizing that as a leader, I'm not in a position to see how important I can become, but rather to see how much of a positive impact I can make in the lives of others or the organization that I work for, and how important I can make them feel. And quite honestly, as I look back on my career, the most rewarding experiences for me have been truly helping others, whether it be customers, patients, or coworkers. And if you don't mind, can I just share a quick analogy for you?
I would love you to.
So back in high school, and I'm pretty sure I still own this title of being the worst football player to ever play the football or play the game, right? But I was a lineman. And if you watch a football game, when the team scores a touchdown, you typically don't see much credit going to the lineman for creating the gap for the running back or providing great pass protection for the quarterback, right? Yet those of us who have played linemen know of the great feeling you have when a member of your team scores that touchdown and you know that you helped. And honestly, Allison, I have that same euphoric touchdown feeling today when I can make a positive impact on another, be successful, or for my organization to be successful. And so when you ask my why, that's why I'm a leader.
That's great. And you just reminded me that, you know, the great John Madden, who recently passed away because he held some of those positions, he always tried to give credit to those on the line because he knew their importance, right, of making it get to the
right.
Win. Yeah.
Truly a great leader. Yes.
You have, as your career has evolved, I'm curious to know if your why has evolved as well.
Yeah. Yes. And if I'm being completely honest, let me say this. There are those who would say that among the wrong whys for being a leader is for money and for power, right? And I've never been one to seek power over others. But I will say, as a young father, I definitely needed money to support my growing family. And that was a big why for me, because the leadership positions paid more, right? So I'm being honest. But I've been blessed along the way to have mentors and leaders who have helped me and believed in me. And they've helped me evolve, I guess, my why for leadership. And I saw a quote the other day, and it was from Zig Ziglar, and it's appropriate for this. He said, a lot of people have gone further than they thought they could because someone else thought they could. And I am definitely one of those who have benefited from someone else believing in me. And one of those examples, Allison, is the example from my bio that you shared about a hospital CEO asking me, a commercial banker, and a community bank president, to run a medical group with no healthcare experience. I mean, who does that, right? But when I asked him why, his response was, because you know how to run a business. So he believed enough in me to take a huge risk. Yet, because of his belief in me and the performance of my incredible team, the hospital now has an amazing medical group, which ended up being a success and a legacy for him. And really, that was my motivation.
That's great. Yeah, I think our whys do evolve over time as some of our needs change. But I suspect the style of your leadership, even back when, you may have needed also the financial resources, the style of how you led is part, as you said, part of your inner virtues and values. They must have been there even way back then.
I think they were, and you know, as I recognize that too, and you recognize your strengths, and you realize how that relates to your why, it helps you navigate. And honestly, I'm a big believer in the Arbinger Institute's philosophy of the outward mindset, and I think I've always had that outward mindset. So as opportunities arose, even in early in my career, that I could help others achieve new heights, it became a passion and an appetite for me. And it still continues today.
That's great. So how do you exhibit your why when you're with your providers, your employees, your health system colleagues? How does it get exhibited? How do you demonstrate it? Do people recognize it when they're interacting with you?
I think they do. And one of the first mentors I had when I changed from banking to healthcare told me that really my job is to help the physicians be successful, which again is right in line with my why. And as a matter of fact, yesterday I spoke to a senior physician who I have just such great respect for. And he was sharing with me some frustrations about process issues and workflow in the office. And I smiled and I told him, you know, I don't know how to practice medicine, right? But I do know how to fix processes and clear hurdles, and I will work on it so he can be more efficient. And I also shared with him some other successes that we had based on feedback he had given me before. So he knows I'm committed to helping him. I also have direct reports who I often delegate projects and assignments, and I work with them by privately observing and mentoring and coaching. Creating those gaps, back to my analogy, I guess, so that they can get the ball across the line. And they still do the work, and I also make sure they receive credit for the successful completion of that project. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, one of my team members, I had given him the assignment to be the champion for Joint Commission preparedness, and we just had a Joint Commission audit, did incredibly well. And I introduced him to my new boss yesterday, and I made sure that she was aware that he was the champion that did this, right? That it, you know, he did it. And so, yes, my team members, those who report to me, understand that I am definitely there to help them succeed. And, you know, and the other thing I would say, Allison, just to add to that, is that it's not always too just about patting on the back. I mean, making a positive impact in someone's life also carries it with carries the obligation of making sure they're making course corrections when needed, right? You know, mm-hmm. We're coaching. And I think any parent who's listening can relate to that comment, right? So if we can help people look in the mirror and not through a window, they can learn a lot about themselves and the improvement they need to make. And ultimately, if my provider or if my team member trusts me and knows that I'm trying to make a positive impact in their life, they're far more responsive to making those changes and striving for excellence.
Yeah. And it makes me, and you were making me think about the providers in particular that you're serving right now, which are surgeons who most of us would agree can be sometimes some of the most challenging people to help course correct. So when the going gets tough and you have to have a tough conversation with one of them, tell me how your why comes into that.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I often have the conversations with physicians that they're such smart people, and I love them all to death. I honestly do. And they bring up great points, but sometimes the delivery isn't there, right? They're not the most patient people sometimes. And so when you explain to them that, listen, I fully support what you're saying. I understand completely what you're saying, and I want to help you, but we need to figure out a better way to deliver this message. And that's a very common conversation I've had. In fact, at Bronson, we use a phrase called seek first to understand. And that's a great principle if you apply it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so the fact that you're relying on your biggest why, which is to help others, really comes into play in that. Just coming at them to say, I want to help you to figure out how to deliver your concerns in a different right. way than you're doing today. So they'll be heard more effectively. Yep. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Which leads me to healthcare. You know, we're really facing some tough times right now between COVID and the shortness of staff and other things, financial pressures, et cetera. So how does your why help you to stay motivated and prevent, maybe it doesn't prevent you from getting discouraged, but how does it help you up when you are discouraged?
Yeah, and that's so important right now. And you're absolutely right. I mean, all of the health systems are so taxed right now, and the stress that these care providers are under, and the sick people that they're treating, it's an incredible time right now. And our caregivers aren't getting enough credit for the great work that they're doing. And honestly, I hope this isn't too trite of an answer, but I think it's a good example. When my kids were young, I would tell them every day to go make someone smile, right? And it's one of the easiest ways to make a positive impact, even with strangers. And I still practice this every day. And someday, honestly, Allison, I need to write a book about my elevator encounters, because I have such great times talking to a very, very captive audience in an elevator, right? And trying to make them smile and laugh. And that just keeps me so motivated. And people remember how you make them feel. And just a quick story. One day I got in an elevator and a man just looked so unhappy and mad. And I just smiled at him. I said, hey, hi, good morning. How's your day? Something like that. And he just grumbled something and turned his back to me. Mm. And we rode on the elevator just for a little bit. And then he turned around, looked at me, and he said, I am so sorry. And I said, what's going on? Are you having a bad day? And he said, you know what? we just found out recently my wife has cancer and she's getting treatment today. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. That's got to be so hard. And I had a meeting to get to, but at that moment, he was the most important person in my life. And as we talked, he told me that his first wife actually had died of cancer too. Wow. So I'm thinking, oh my word, what have you gone through in your life? Right? And we talked about his family, we talked about his children, we talked about his wife. And I think that conversation, Allison, went for 15 or 20 minutes. And at the end, you know, it started out with a grumbly response and it ended with an embrace, right? And he knew that he was the most important person. And it left a positive impact in his life. So when those stories, I tell you, those are the things that keep me going, is making a difference every day.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, if I can know that I've done my part to help our providers, you know, I'm not the care provider, but I support them. But if I know I've helped my providers help people get better, if I know that patients are able to have more birthdays, more anniversaries, more hugs from their children or grandchildren, I keep motivated and I want to show up each day and do it again.
Yeah. Terrific. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So as leaders, the one other area I want to ask you about is we all work on doing better ourselves. How do we improve some of the areas where we know we have some opportunities to grow. So as you think about your why, how does that influence those specific areas for yourself that you want to improve upon?
Well, I think it was my dad who used to tell me, you know, you don't want to pay tuition twice to learn the same lesson. And I've got to admit, there's been times when I've tried to help people and I may have said something the wrong way, or I may have taken the wrong action. So it's important to kind of sit back and assess those moments, those conversations, and say, okay, how could I have done it better? And honestly, I have those same discussions with my team members. We, again, just going through the Joint Commission audit, you know, there were some things that we found that in preparing for it that could have been done better, right? And so I asked my team member, you know, what could we have done differently? You know, how could we have handled it differently? And I think, again, if we're asking ourselves those questions, if we're looking in the mirror, as I said earlier, that's an important way to help develop our leadership skills and improve our why and do it better.
Yeah, that's terrific. I, from working with you and in our consulting engagement, I felt your why right away. When I wanted Thank to you. Have this conversation with somebody, I thought of you immediately, because I just knew you had a purpose behind why you were a leader. It just exuded from you. And I could hear it again in your responses to these questions. So I very much thank you time again today. I think it's an important question for all leaders to ask themselves is, why are you doing this? Why is being in the leadership seat important to you? And what do you want to do with it? How do you want to be in it? You obviously figured that out a long time ago, which is fabulous. And I hope through this podcast, maybe we encourage others to really reflect on that and think about it for themselves as well. So thanks again, Mark.
Allison, thank you so much. I'm so honored that you asked me to join you today in this discussion. And I agree with you. It's been interesting because when you asked me to speak about this, I've asked the question to others, and you can see it's a very soul-searching question. And I do agree with you. I hope others, if they've heard this, sit down and ask themselves, why? Why am I a leader?
Yes.
So thank you for that so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.